Thanks for listening to the show. Join us online at playvolutionhq.com and learn how to support the show at explorationsearlylearning.com/support.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaken Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaken Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Avila.
In this episode, we're talking about getting parents ready for kindergarten. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchables. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone. Most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect agreement or disagreement, but what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. Amy, every year at this time, there seems to be this rush, mad rush, to think about and talk about the whole kindergarten issue and the kindergarten roundup and all that kind of thing. And I keep thinking, slow down, what's the rush? And I'd rather focus more on how to help adults go through the process rather than to prepare children for the process. Is that something that happens in your area too?
Oh my gosh, Dan, there's so much pressure and so much talk. And I, like you, I don't understand why they're doing kindergarten registration and roundup months before kindergarten would start for a child, because so much changes in that, you know, time period from when they're doing their kindergarten registration and roundup to when kindergarten actually starts.
Yeah, and you know, you and I know that children don't have any time concept till much later, and so the child's going to constantly ask, is it time to go to kindergarten, the whole summer in that process, because it's being talked about now. And I keep thinking, and I understand the whole state-funded component, but it really doesn't fit what we know about kids, that really the reality is the month before, the 2 weeks before school starts is really a better time for them than it would be now in terms of that approach.
Right. And, you know, there's so much going on. Like in our area, even though we are a small area, there are a couple of different options for kindergarten now. And I was really thrilled to see actually one of the programs that was running a preschool program is going to be running a kindergarten this next fall. And it was really nice to see a different option because they are doing a play-based kindergarten program with mixed ages. And so it's just really nice to see different, more developmentally appropriate options available for people, because so much of what kindergarten is now is just not, it is not appropriate for young children. And so I think one of the things that, you know, when parents start worrying about this and start talking about it, because of course, you know, of course there's concern, because there's all of this, you know, all of this screening, and they bring their children to it and they're like, oh my gosh, should my child know all of this stuff? You know, going, the idea that children have to go into kindergarten already knowing their letters. And I'm like, okay, we are like the only country in the world that expects this much of children so young and so inappropriately so.
Right. You know, and I think it's important, because sometimes parents and guardians are not aware that any school district that uses an assessment that reflects a requirement of entrance or not, such as scissor cutting, knowing their letters, their numbers, really is an illegal use of an entrance requirement. I'm not sure that all parents are aware that you can say to the school district that I choose not to have my child go through that assessment if it is a basis for entrance to kindergarten or pre-kindergarten or whatever that might be. And I'm not sure that a lot of parents are aware of that.
Well, and the other aspect that a lot of parents aren't aware of is that in most states, and I don't have the figures or the states in front of me, kindergarten is optional. So knowing that, and I know, you know, I know it's hard for some parents to balance another year of potentially childcare or, you know, or something different while they're working for their child. But with the way that things have gotten, in our country with they've found a lot of really true benefits of delaying kindergarten a year for your child, whether you were to opt to homeschool or opt not to do kindergarten at all. But the idea of giving your child another year to play and explore and learn on their own without the rigid academics that have been placed into most kindergarten classrooms now has found to be quite beneficial.
Right. I think parents get nervous. And so one of the questions that's sometimes difficult to answer is, should I send my child to kindergarten or give him or her another year? And I think I'm always responding to that. It depends on what the child is going into. So I think it's important that people take the time to observe. They could go in and set up an appointment to observe what that kindergarten is like. As you and I know that now the kindergarten curriculum in many places have become first grade curriculum. So everything's been pushed down. So we really want to know what that year is going to be like for that child. And do they recognize other things other than the academics? Because I'm always looking at not whether or not a child has the cognitive skills before they enter kindergarten, but what their social development is. Do they recognize that other children exist? Because once they go into the big world, there is an expectation that children are going to become less egocentric and become interested and want to be around other kids and do things with other kids. So I think that's more important in terms of that development than whether or not a child knows his letters, because that kind of stuff can happen easily if the child is feeling pretty confident, don't you think?
Definitely. And they, you know, they really, there's so much focus on academics that they just don't focus enough on the social emotional concepts that are so important for us to take a look at.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so making a visit to a kindergarten is not out of the question. And if the school district says, you know, we don't have time, well, then the response should be, well, let's make time, make that happen so that I can observe whether or not I want to send my child to this program. Now, part of the challenge becomes with programs that are in small areas like yours, where they're really aren't a lot of choices in some cases. So it's good to know that they're expanding that, but that makes part of the challenge is the fact that there just really isn't a lot of choices for parents to make.
Right. And, you know, I am from a smaller area, but I am, you know, in a bigger area than some of the surrounding places. So I think it's really important, like I said, for parents to know that in a lot of places, kindergarten is optional. So if you were to decide to have another year where a child hasn't, you know, has an opportunity to continue to go to a preschool, a play-based preschool or a home-based program, or, you know, an opportunity to maybe, you know, look at options for homeschooling if that's an option for you for some of the younger years. And there are a lot of homeschool co-ops. There are a lot of other options too in terms of some of the online stuff that's available right now, although I'd be very leery about a lot of them in terms of doing an online kindergarten, because again, the social emotional aspects aren't there, that most of the time it's purely academic that they are that they have there. But know that, you know, even if you feel like there are not a lot of options where you are, there really are a lot more options when you break out from what the traditional options might be.
Right. And I think the attitude that there's something wrong with my child if I keep them back is not true. And in most cases, like you indicated, giving children opportunities to enhance skills that they already have, help them feel successful so that they can move on to whatever it is happens later on, I think it's a good thing and it's a positive thing. So let's say that a parent or guardian decides, let's say a family decides that they are going to send their child to kindergarten. Let's talk a little bit about what we can do to help a parent through that process. And I think one of the things that I've noticed lately is that sometimes parents get sucked into the preparation stuff. The real books they can buy, the number counting books, there's a whole lot of crap out there that emphasizes, especially online now too, this is if you want your child to make it to kindergarten, here's some things you can do to prepare your child for that. And I want parents to not get sucked in to that approach.
Yeah, there is so much crap out there, and it is people are making money hand over fist off of this stuff that you don't need it. preparing for kindergarten, it drives me crazy that the time we think we need to be preparing for the next step. I mean, I don't know. I'm not preparing for, I'm not preparing for my next step for my next year right now. I don't know why we do that to children, to children. Why not let them be in the moment and be present and where they're at versus trying to get them ready for the next stage? Why not embrace where they are right now?
Right. And I think that's an important component, Amy, that you're saying is that if parents start taking a look at how do I help my child feel good about where they are, will be better preparation than trying to push him or her to the next step, whatever that might be. And the other component there is, I hate to make schools, the kindergarten, less attractive, but it's not about the kindergarten, it's about the bus ride. You really are fascinated over that bus that in some cases is being eliminated for financial reasons in many districts. But I'm always saying to parents, if you can get a child a bus ride, that to me is more exciting than taking them into the classroom to visit it. Don't you think the kids love the aspect of the bus ride?
Oh, they do. And, when I talk to the older children who come back in my program, because, they come back to visit, they come back after school sometimes, the older children, it's not about school that they're excited about. It's the bus ride or it's the playground. Those are their favorite parts. And of course they are, because the bus ride is an opportunity to, of course, ride on this really cool big bus, which generally doesn't have seatbelts, so they're able to like move around a little more on the seats. And the riding on the school bus is also a very social time, because you get to meet and talk to all of the other kids that are there, with most of the time without a lot of interference from adults, because generally it's just the bus driver on the bus school.
Yeah, and you mentioned also the playground. I think that's an important, you could take your child to the school playground for a picnic. It doesn't have to be a preparation for school. It's just making the playground experience a natural, inclusive experience for him or her. And so having those kinds of experiences before they go to school, I think is an important component, because then the playground becomes part of the community.
Right. And, giving children those opportunities to see where the building is. And I know I've said a lot of things that makes it sound like I'm completely against kindergarten. And I want to make it clear that I'm definitely not. For our family, we did choose to homeschool, but every family is going to find, you know, what's a good fit. But I do know that a lot, you know, I know there are some fantastic kindergarten programs out there that still really value play and really value giving children time to explore. I know when my sister was actually looking at, you know, because my niece is about kindergarten age, whether or not they were going to go to school, she was so pleasantly surprised to see that there were absolutely no academic expectations for her child going in. And that, you know, I was really excited to hear that too. And so, you know, there are fantastic programs out there, but just like everything, they run the gamut. And so just really know, you know, that you have a lot of options and know that, you know, like I said, you have the option to delay that and to give your child, like you said, the experiences of riding the bus, the playground, and to give them the time before you might be putting them into, you know, a more educational program. I just pulled up, Dan, an article from the Washington Post, and I don't know if you've seen this before, but it was talking about, there was a study called The Gift of Time, with having to do with school starting age and mental health. Mm-hmm. And what they found, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or not, is that delaying kindergarten by 1 year reduced the diagnosis of inattention and hyperactivity by 73% for an average child at age 11. 73% by giving the children another year. So not to say that some of those things, and I know we've talked about some of that before, but giving children time and appreciating where they are instead of trying to push them forward also gives us an opportunity to really have them be developmentally ready for things, and not have a potential misdiagnosis just because they're just not developmentally where we're expecting them to be.
Well, plus when we started out, what's the rush? I mean, as you're here, you know, most other countries don't start children in school until probably sometimes 7, and in some countries it's even later. And I keep thinking, what's the rush? Give children a chance to feel good about themselves, experience lots of opportunities before they have to sit or whatever it is that's required in the big school. And I think part of that is really giving them that chance to explore and to create and have those wonderful experiences that are an absolute necessity. You know, the other thing that parents often get crunched into is just before school, what kinds of things do I need to get that child? And I'm often, you know, they go out and buy new clothes. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a lot of schools start back before Labor Day. It's pretty hot, you know. Yeah. So plus, you know, plus the aspect of I still want kids to go to school in the clothes that they're comfortable with, more play clothes component. And they, at that age, outgrow clothing so fast that it's really better not to go out and buy. And I'm going to say this and people are going to, you know, do it anyhow. But I think this whole idea of buying new clothes to start school really needs to be re-evaluated. What's really important is the size of the backpack. Because children love carrying this humongous backpack. I mean, they get tired real quick. But I'm often saying to parents, if they choose a backpack, they're going to choose one that's larger than their body. Essentially, part of the process of going on to the new transition. But I am worried about the requirements of, you know, having a laptop in kindergarten, because I just read an article that said that did not improve, and that was in Psychology Today, but just did not improve the component and knowledge. And so some of those kinds of things that are now being added to a kindergarten curriculum really need to be questioned by the parents and guardians who choose to put children into kindergarten, and how they're used and how often they're used. Do you get those feelings also from your area?
I do, and I don't just see it with kindergarten, Dan, but all of the apps and all of the things, and it's like, you know what? It's not real. And if it's not real and they can't really touch the things, and how long are they really retaining that information? And yes, it may appear that it's really helping for the short term, but over the long term, the studies are out there from the technology that we've had for long enough to have the studies. Over the long term, the benefits just aren't there. And it's one of the reasons why we don't have that type of technology available. I mean, we don't even have a TV in the area where the children come, because it's so important at this young, early age for their interactions to be with real things, not virtual things.
Right, and as we're getting close to the closure of this, I think it's really crucial that parents, guardians realize that they really have a voice in making changes in what their child is going to. And you can't just simply want change unless you're going to want to be involved in that change. So volunteering in the classroom will help support the change, getting involved in school board activities, being part of the PTA or PTO groups is all part of the crucial change that needs to take place. Because, we think about it, you've got one adult with maybe 25 or more children. It's unrealistic to expect that necessarily good things are going to happen with that kind of adult-child ratio, but it can as we look at how to make changes that are important. So I believe that it doesn't end at preschool or childcare. Really, the involvement in school needs to continue, don't you think so?
Right. And whatever type of schooling that may be,
Correct.
whether you decide to go with a public school, or if you opt to homeschool, or if you opt to go with a private program, or a co-op type of thing, because there are so many options out there, just to really be involved and educate yourself about your options and what's going on in whatever option that you decide is going to be the best for you, your child, and your family.
Definitely, and I love the fact that there are options, and people need to seek them out in terms of that component. What's best for their child might not necessarily be best for somebody else's. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. If you have questions or want continued to discussion, email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at
You can email me at AmyAhola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.